Welcome to Hype episode 48. My name is Selena and I have Kyle and Marima with me this week. Hello, guys.
Hey.
It's been a couple of three-person panels over the past couple of weeks, but we hope to get a few more voices in coming weeks. But today, the three of us, I think, are pretty excited about the show we have ahead of us. Well, Marima maybe not so much, but me and Kyle for sure, because we're finally moving a little bit away from all the Marvel stuff and talking about television. Yeah, Marima's not at all excited.
My favorite thing.
Yay.
Hey, I feel like I need to clear up. It's not that I don't enjoy TV. It's just that I don't watch as much of it compared to you people who watch like 45 shows a week.
You know, it's sad, like confession time. At the moment, I watch almost nothing. Like, I just have no time to catch up.
I'm like behind on everything. Yeah. I have like three episodes queued up in like almost all of my shows.
Yeah, it's
except the ones I cover.
Very sad. Anyway, before we get started with the news, I just want to remind you guys, of course, Hype is Hypeable.com's general news entertainment podcast. You can find us on Hypeable.com, which is Hypable.com. It's almost a song. I like that. You can also find us on Twitter at HypeableHype. And we really encourage you to get in touch with us about the show and future shows so you can get your comments on the air and we can discuss the thoughts that you guys have on the different news stories that we bring up. We also really briefly want to implore you, to ask you very kindly and nicely to go into iTunes and rate us and maybe leave us a review. And hopefully you have nice things to say, otherwise it's kind of our own fault if we get like a "they suck." Please don't do that. Because we're trying to spread the word about the show, and since our relaunch, it's almost like a brand new show, really, but we're still Hypeable's flagship show, and we still would like to get the word out about Hype, basically. So anyway, you can help us do that. iTunes would be a really great way to just if you have time, just head on in there and help other people discover us. Okay, so How We Hype is our first segment of the day. We're going to start just by catching up with everyone, seeing what they've been doing fandom-related in the past week. And let's start with Kyle.
I am finally catching up with J.K. Rowling's Robert Galbraith series, and I am reading The Silkworm.
I was biting my lip.
Literally every time.
Just don't. Yeah, you would feel like you would have learned it by now, because I've been correcting you for as long as I've known you, which is like 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years of correction. I'm actually listening to it on audiobook, which I love. Like, I'm going to the gym, and like I'm like working out to like all of this like drama happening, and it makes me feel so like I'm like, yeah, I like it. Is that weird? I think that's weird. But
no, that's normal.
Well, I'm enjoying it so far. I'm like
that's
4 or 5 chapters.
Great. I wish we had Andrew on this week, because last time me and Pam were sort of struggling too, because we haven't read it. We haven't read any of Galbraith's stuff.
I love stuff.
His stuff.
I've read them all.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. Because we felt like such bad fans.
Oh, well, I read them to review them, but I mean, I was obviously going to read them. Yeah, but it does not take me that long to read a book, so like it's not a huge commitment. But I like The Silkworm much more than the first one. So I would be interested when you finish it, Kyle.
I can't tell is yours music or is yours a book?
It's music. It's music. I meant to talk about this. Oh, I don't know, like ages ago. I've been listening to this album for a while, but I keep forgetting with like Avengers and Pitch Perfect and like all these fun movies that I've been seeing. But I've been listening to the new Wombats album. It's Glitterbug. It's their new EP. I think it's like their third. No, it must be their fourth album. They're one of my favorite bands. They're a British band. They're sort of an indie rock kind of vibe. I don't really know what like British bands are big in the States, so I'm not sure who to equate them to. But anyway, I really have been enjoying it. It takes me quite a few listens to an album before I can start just like listening to it in the background. I need to listen. I need to like sit and listen to it. I like to go and like walk and listen to it and really like focus. Just focus on the music, but that sounds terrible. But literally, like I need to listen to the album really carefully. So I'm kind of in the stage now where I've been like listening to it in the background, and it's I think it's maybe not my favorite of all of theirs, but I just really love all of their music. Their previous albums have been a kind of, yeah, like indie Brit rock, like Arctic Monkeys maybe kind of style, or, you know, just like very fun alternative kind of, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how, I don't know who to equate it to, because I don't know who's like, yeah, it's not like Miley Cyrus. But anyway, this album is more like synth heavy. And so if you're into that, like, I guess I would equate it, the change, to maybe Taylor Swift's albums. Like, she went from country to kind of country pop, and now this album is very like 80s pop, hers. And same with this, like this kind of has an 80s vibe to it, which I'm enjoying. And yeah, I definitely recommend. Everyone should check it out.
You know, this really says a lot about the lens through which I view the world, is that I saw the wombats in the dock, and I didn't first think of the tiny creature native to Australia, or not so tiny, I suppose. I thought of Harry Potter and thought, huh, I wonder if it's wizard rock.
Wow. Not really my thing.
That's great.
Yeah, I didn't think it was.
I wonder, yeah, you're like, this is interesting. Okay. Yeah, anyway. So did I say what the album's called? It's called Glitterbug.
Glitterbug.
Anyway, I definitely recommend if people are into that.
See, that could be a Harry Potter thing too, right? Like a spell? Glitterbug. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Totally.
Oh. Yeah, it's a Mardi Gras spell.
No, that's amazing.
Love it.
I've been doing almost nothing fandom-related. This week has been super boring, real-life stuff. But I do just want to point out, of Monsters and Men, which is this Icelandic band.
I love them.
I love them, too, so much. And after 4 years, they're finally releasing a new album. I was beginning to give up hope. But it's coming out in June. But there's three songs already up on iTunes, and I got them the other day. And they're really good. They're really, like...
Oh, I didn't know about this, but I'm Googling it immediately.
Like, hype, where you get the news.
It's released on my birthday, guys. What a nice birthday present.
That's amazing.
Oh. Yeah. So everyone knows when my birthday is now. No excuse. Oh, the new of Monsters and Men album is coming out. Time to buy Marimar a present.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, it is the three songs on iTunes are really nice. And if you guys like Monsters and Men, which I'm sure you do, if nothing else, because they're always linked to fandom in one way or another. Then
because of that Merlin song?
Well, yeah, not just Merlin. Come on. But yeah, mainly Merlin. But no, I've seen their songs used for almost everything when you go on YouTube and you look for...
fan videos and things.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm always looking for lyric news, you know, so.
Yeah. So exciting. Thanks for giving us the news,
Selena.
You're
welcome. See, even when Pam's not here, we manage to incorporate some music.
That's small music news that we have even when Pam is here.
And speaking of news, best transition ever. So as I said at the beginning, we've got mostly TV show news this week, but we do want to start off with a couple of J.K. Rowling-related news, because it's us, come on, guys, and a couple of movie news, and then we'll head on into television. So the first story is Merrimas. It really couldn't be anything else.
I knew it when I put it in that it would be number one. Actually, I think it may have been number one when we first talked about this. So back in April, I think we discussed that there were reports that Eddie Redmayne was in talks to star in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And now Warner Brothers has formally offered him the role of Newt, and J.K. Rowling has finished the screenplay, which means he actually has something to read, which he did not have last time.
Yeah.
And he's reportedly, quote, very happy with what he has read. And I'm so excited about this because I am obsessed with Eddie Redmayne. I think he's amazing. Also, how much do you think he is getting paid for this now that he has an Oscar? That's a hefty price tag.
He's going to be the only actor in the movie.
Yeah, it's a one-man show. Yeah. They've changed the whole concept so they could afford him. But seriously, I mean, I know it's a little ridiculous to kind of speculate about if we think he's good or not, because we have no idea what the film is about, really, or what the character is like.
It just comes down to whether we like him. You know, that's why when it was Matt Smith, I was like, oh my God, because I love him so much. With Redmayne, I'm a little bit more, But we can't really have an opinion on Newt yet.
It's all opinion on the actor and not even, like, on the actor for the role. It's literally just, oh, I don't like Eddie Redmayne. That's not a choice.
Like, who doesn't like Eddie Redmayne? Get out of the fight right now.
He's amazing. I loved him in in that Stephen Hawking movie. It was fantastic.
A Theory of Everything. I love him in everything. I think he's a, like, okay, if you're trying to be objective, I think he's a, obviously proven that he's a fantastic actor. So this is exciting that they're trying to get actors of this caliber. And I think it's also a little exciting, Selena, I feel like you'll agree with me, that, you know, the lead is not going to be a child. It's going to be someone who's proven that they can act. And I'm not saying anything against Emma, Rupert, or Dan, you know, whatever, like, if you like it, if you didn't like it. But obviously, it's less of a risk when you're casting adults versus casting kids.
Yeah, it's less like watching acting school and more like, you know. And again, no offense to them, they did a great job. But when you have kids, you know, playing kids,
it's just part of it. It's just part of the whole thing. So, you know, it's kind of nice to see that the cast is going to be centered around whether you like him or not. You know, obviously a lot of people think he's very good at what he does. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting stuff. And I love him. So I'm so excited.
That's awesome.
And there's a script. So that's exciting too.
Yes. Yeah. And we can't say anything else at this point. But, I mean, Eddie Redmayne is a big name. And him being attached to this is a good thing, ultimately, I think.
I think so.
Speaking of adults, I'm moving on to the next story now, and I'm looking at a picture of Shirley Henderson being extremely creepy as a 14-year-old girl. So this news broke the other day. I didn't think it was that big a deal, but it's got over 13,000 Facebook shares, so I suppose people care. J.K. Rowling on Monday revealed Moaning Myrtle's full name on Twitter. And you know what the best thing about this story is? We posted this on Facebook and immediately people started going, it's Shirley Henderson. She's an actress. She's really good.
People are great.
It made me laugh so much. It was so worth it. Actually, not to pat myself on the back. Who am I kidding? I'm totally going to pat myself on the back. I got this story almost before J.K. Rowling herself. Like, it was up almost straight away after we sort of noticed that it was on Twitter, and we got it before anyone else, so that's pretty cool. Basically, there's not really much to say about this news, except her name is Myrtle Elizabeth Warren. And obviously Americans are immediately going to be like, oh, did she name her after Elizabeth Warren? She didn't, apparently. She just it just happened to coincide with the name of the U.S. senator who is not running for the 2016 elections, apparently.
Maybe now. So,
maybe. But I was going to say, and I said in the article, like, I don't know if Elizabeth Warren is a Harry Potter fan, but if she is, I would feel a little bit offended that this is the character that I'm being linked to, because I'm with Moaning Myrtle. But
she's the worst.
She is the worst. Oh, but yeah, no, this was fun, and I mean, it's just I just think, I mean, obviously a lot of us on Hypeable and some readers were like, who cares? This is pointless. But a lot of people were super excited about this, and it's just nice to see how easy it is to get people excited when there's even this tiny piece of new Potter knowledge. And
see,
it just has to come on with the encyclopedia already. Like,
until she releases the encyclopedia, everything that she like says like offhandedly on Twitter, I'm like halfway I'm going to believe her that she says like she's had this the entire time. But the other half of me is like thinking like, okay, like, did you really just like make that up on the spot? Or like,
are you questioning J.K. Rowling? Like,
no, like, you know, like, it just makes me, I'm just so curious as to at what point did she say, Myrtle Elizabeth Warren. Yeah, that's the name I want. Like, I want to know at what point, I don't need the details, but I'm just saying, like,
where
it'd
was
be really
she?
Interesting to find out.
What was she wearing?
Like,
I don't care about this. I don't know if this is just, you know, maybe, I don't know. I'm not like over Harry Potter. I don't want to say that. But I feel like the further away you get from the kind of mania that surrounded the books, the less I used to really care about stuff like this. Well, not care, but I used to be interested.
Yeah.
And now I just could not care less. But I still want that damn encyclopedia.
I know.
These things bother me now more than anything else, because it's like, all right, if you can sit on Twitter and like answer people's questions, that's really nice. How about write the encyclopedia you've been promising us for like years and years so that I can read about all these interesting things? Because I want to read about things that like don't fit into 140 characters. You know, I want to read about like the founders and the history of the world and, you know, all of these things. I don't care about people's middle names or their surnames.
I'm really glad you brought this up because I think that is sort of, and again, this is something we could have a whole longer discussion about. This isn't MuggleCast, but.
I could talk about this forever, but yeah we'll keep it brief.
But just, you know, in terms of that, I think it's not that it bothers me that she releases this stuff because I see how excited people get and I can sort of be like, okay, that's great. But I feel exactly the same way in terms of any Potter information released out of context just makes me feel like really sad because I feel nothing. Like it was kind of like, I mean, this is obviously, this was very different because it was a huge chunk of information. But when we got McGonagall's backstory, it was nice to read it, but it just felt so removed because it was just this block of text on Pottermore. And I feel like, because I want an encyclopedia more than anything, I want to read about all this in context. I want to be able to look up like characters I like and read everything about them. And I want to look up like spells and everything. But all of this fragmented information that just arrives suddenly on a Monday, like I read it and I go, okay. You know, it's yeah, for sure. I'm with you basically.
We're 100% on the same page. Yeah. It's kind of it's upsetting to like have that feeling of sort of fatigue or disappointment associated with Potter, which has obviously been such a huge part of our lives. And yeah, it's just kind of sad, but I mean, I hold out hope that when Pottermore is finished, that she'll, you know, do something. I mean, at that point, she really has no excuse. Like, compile it all together, add in a little bit more, and sell it for charity. Done. There's your business model, you know?
Pottermore but the we'll book. See. Oh, that's my worst nightmare.
Pottermore gross. The video game. Yeah. Like, you don't find out anything. It's just like a walkthrough. Oh, God. I'm just making myself cry. All right. Let's talk about more things that make me frustrated before we talk about cheerful things. This I think, broke right after we finished recording our last episode, as always happens with hype. But apparently Marvel are going to create a Spider-Man film for every year Peter Parker is in high school, and it's going to be with a John Hughes theme.
Because that's what the Spider-Man people want.
Yeah, because what people have been saying is, you know what, I mean, I'm sick of Spider-Man reboots, but I would like a reboot if it's like along the lines of The Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. That would really change my mind on this. So, yeah, I guess the only good thing really that came out of this, people will be mad at me, but like I'm just so over Spider-Man, so I don't even care at this point, is that we're not going to see the origin story of him being bitten by the spider.
Thank goodness.
So it's going to be...
When do you start high school? When you're like 14? When is he going to get bitten?
14, yeah. Like that's generally the age. Like,
He's going to be young.
14 is 14.
But we
is a
will probably see Uncle Ben die, and I'm very excited about this because I'm keeping a tally.
Well, I think I like the top comment on this, which is, if they give us another Spider-Man origin, I'm going to kill Uncle Ben myself. Which is probably the greatest
That's
reaction.
Amazing.
Yeah. the other news that came out with this is that there's some directors they have in consideration who are, you know, various. I don't care. And then also they're still choosing between Asa Butterfield and Tom Holland, which we already knew, and we're expecting an announcement very soon, because even though he hasn't been announced, we are expecting Spider-Man to be in Civil War, and they've started filming, or they're just about to. So, yeah, we'll find out, I guess. But does anyone want to watch four Spider-Man movies about Spider-Man, like, growing up in high school dealing with teenage angst?
One question is, are we excited about this now? The other question is, are we probably all going to go to the cinema anyway? And probably, yeah.
I don't know if I will.
But I think lots of people will.
I mean, I host a superhero podcast, and I don't even know if I will go to it at this point. It's just, talk about fatigues with a franchise.
I know. People are definitely expressing, like, frustration in the comments, you know, because, again, we get four more movies of like, a white teen boy with a story that we're, like, is coming out of our ears at this point, you know? What's probably going to happen? It seems so dumb.
Is they're going to get like two movies in and they're going to be like, oh, you know what? We need to redo this. This wasn't done right.
Yeah. Recast him because he got too old or something.
Yeah.
Because Asa Butterfield isn't that young.
He looks young,
Well, he's at the age where like he's young enough, but
he's already 18.
They're going to have to shoot it real quick because he's going to
Thinking. Like he's going to hit one of those growth spurts like Walt on Lost and it's going to get really weird.
Mm-hmm. Or like awkward on Once Upon a Time when like Henry went through puberty in the span of like a month.
Oh, my God. Yes. Poor kid.
Well, this is a thing to remember at this also is people are mad about Spider-Man because Spider-Man is maybe the most popular superhero character in like comic books. You know, he's everyone's favorite character. That's why people got so frustrated about the previous films. And to give them the benefit of the doubt and God help me, why am I defending Spider-Man? But these are, you know, I would say a reasonable amount of the blame for the disaster that was the final Tobey Maguire films and certainly Amazing Spider-Man 2 is that Sony really has no idea what to do with this property and they're just like clinging onto it because it's all they've got, but they don't know what to do. And Marvel, whether you love or hate their films, like they produce popular, that's a good term. They produce very popular movies. You know, they're always going to get an audience. So it's going to make the money. They'll definitely keep going with it. And they are also so excited to like finally have the character back so that they can include him in the Avengers and in Civil War like we talked about. So, you know, I don't think that it's like a lack of thought that's gone into this or whatever, but I just wish that's fine. You want to do like the John Hughes thing, that's great. I wish that, like you said, it wasn't another young white teen going through the same struggles that we've seen in the other two. Like, if they had given us a character, maybe to add a little more diversity into the Marvel Cinematic Universe or, like, into the superhero films in general, yes, I think people would be more excited. But, like, the casting in particular seems to have thrown a lot of people off because it really does feel like it's going to be the same thing, even if they say, no, it's going to be totally different in tone and, you know, he's going to be younger, so it's going to be way different. It's like, well, like, how different is it going to be? It's going to be 14 instead of 16. All right.
Yeah, it's not going to be Perks of Being a Wallflower for the superhero movie. You know?
Yes.
Or maybe it is.
Maybe. Anyway, we will find out. So we mentioned that Spider-Man will probably be in Civil War. He will be joining basically everyone who's ever been in a Marvel film.
Except for, like, the Hulk who's crying somewhere.
Yeah, I think the casting call for Civil War went something like, have you ever been in a Marvel film? Great, you're hired. So we have, obviously, Captain America, Iron Man, Black Widow, the
Captain
Vision.
Captain America's still in this? Are you sure?
I think he has a cameo.
Did he get cut for time?
A Captain America cameo, yeah. We have War Machine and Scarlet Witch. We have the Winter Soldier, Falcon, Agent 13, Crossbones. These are all characters from the Captain America films, which is exciting. Then we're also going to have Ant-Man, and we're going to see Black Panther for the first time, and most likely Spider-Man for
and
the
Captain
first time.
Captain Marvel, maybe, right?
Yes. So,
although she hasn't been cast yet.
No, everyone is going to be in this film, and... I can't. Oh, and Martin Freeman, of course.
Yeah.
Joke up, get Martin Freeman. Yeah, literally everyone is going to be in this movie. It's
and
become,
what's her face? Emily Van Camp?
Oh, mm-hmm, yeah. So she was in
I'm so happy.
Winter Soldier. She's going to be back. Yeah,
yeah, I'm happy that she's there, but
really
not if they do a love story.
A bigger part. Like, I don't know. Come on, Sonya. Like,
no,
like...
no. You know what? No. I'm so... This movie is going to be so packed. I'm so sick of generic love stories.
Okay.
I was so happy that he didn't have one.
Maybe not for this. I don't know. I'm just so mad. Because, like, this is, like, Chris Evans' like last Captain America film. But, like, I'm so mad because Emily Van de Kamp... Is that her name? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now she's finished with revenge. Like, finally. And, like, she...
Can
finally
Evan
be part
now.
Yeah. And I'm just mad that now,
God,
like,
that was funny.
Chris Evans isn't even going to be a part of any film after this.
I appreciate
it. Thanks. He might be in Avengers. He's been talking about shooting Infinity War. So unless he's saying it to throw people off, I guess there's a good chance that he will actually appear in the Infinity War.
I really like that small, like the very small glimpse we got of the two of them together in Captain America.
I feel like at this point, any romance that they do in these movies, I mean, I'm so done. Like, I've watched Iron Man now, finally, and I've seen Thor, and both of those, I was like, like, Iron Man was slightly better, because at least she had agency of her own, but no, I just, this movie's going to be so packed, and I want them to focus on, like, friendship and avenging and shit. Like, I curse.
No, like, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Like, I'm not saying, like, this movie in particular, but I would
like
to
see
Emily
and Chris. But I like her as an actress. Emily, I'm glad she's there.
Chris, yeah.
I have to say, like, her, that romance, it is canon, like, whatever.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, whatever canon is for the Marvel comics, because there's so many different things. Like, it does appear in the comics, so it would be highly likely that that's what will happen with her.
Yeah.
And, like a lot of people are really complaining about, like, having all of these people, but, like, you can't, it can't be Civil War without all of these. Like, the entire premise of Civil War is that it's, like, all these superheroes are, like, battling each other on different sides of this huge concept. So, like, of course all these people are going to be in it. Like, and maybe they're not going to be as huge parts. Like, they're not all going to have central story arcs, you know? Like,
they're not, but the problem that people are having is not that all of these people are in Civil War. Obviously, they were all going to be. The problem people are having is that a Civil War movie is Cap 3. That it's a Captain America movie. It should have been an Avengers movie. And, you know, this just is like, everyone has just accepted that this is what's happening now. But then the cast list came out and it was like, oh, we knew it was going to happen, but it's like rubbing salt into the wound, you know, just like reopening that whole issue. Most of these people, I think, as you said, they're not going to be central. They need people on, I mean, Civil War is Captain America versus Iron Man, for people who are somehow unfamiliar. At this point, we've talked about it so many times. So they need people on each side to make it, you know, have some gravity, have some weight to it. And I think that's a role that a lot of these people are going to be playing. But that said, like, too many people in the cast. Anyway, we will find out. One more piece of Marvel news before we move on to the TV mania that will follow. We have found out that after, now they've finished up with Captain America Civil War, Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely will also be writing Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2. And they did Winter Soldier, they did Thor the Dark World, I think they did the first Captain America. Like, they're really in the Marvel world now. And they wrote for Agent Carter as well. So, yeah, nice. They'll be coming back for both parts. I'm really excited. I like them.
Me too.
I like their writing.
Yeah, I think all the movies they've done so far have been, like, especially Winter Soldier, have been, like, fantastic. So I'm super stoked.
Yeah, not so much Dark World, but we can...
No.
we'll skip that.
Yeah,
that's nice. Consistency is always good, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. So, yeah, that's it. We'll I'm sure we'll be back with superhero news, like, next week.
Of course, of course. It's always going to be the big news that everyone cares about. Luckily, superhero news also extends to the television world. We're not going to start off with that. We've got some other stories. But as everyone who's been reading Hyperbole knows, this past week, and really the past couple of weeks, has been an explosion of television news, cancellations and renewals and pickups everywhere and finales. So much to talk about, and we're going to do our best to pick the stories we think are most interesting and sort of go over a little bit more general news at the end. So the first story comes from Kyle, which I don't okay, go for it. I don't even know what to say.
So, okay, ABC, if you're not aware, is kind of rebooting The Muppets. And The Muppets used to have a variety show way back when. And ABC is bringing The Muppets back for a new TV series. But it's kind of going to be a different style. It's kind of like the Office-style comedy. And it's going to be about The Muppets and their actual personal lives instead of being on the show all the time. which sounds really, really weird. But they already have a trailer for it, and it's 2 minutes and 41 seconds, which is amazing. And you get clips of, like, Kermit and Miss Piggy and Gonzo and like all this great stuff. And like there's a shot of Kermit on the 405 like driving, and he's like, oh, I hate the 405. And it's like it's great, and it's just a really great show. It's definitely a show more for adults than children. I think children are going to be able to watch it for sure, obviously, because it's the Muppets, but there's some humor there for adults that kids are not going to get. So you guys should just watch the trailer and you'll know what I'm talking about. But it looks,
who do you think is the target audience for this?
I think it's millennials and older people, like people like millennials and over.
Oh, stop saying that word. I hate it so much.
Hashtag.
Really?
Millennials. Ugh.
Good thing
sorry.
Andrew isn't here.
Don't tell Andrew like that.
Yeah. Oh, I totally forgot about the podcast. Well, it wasn't even a dig at Andrew. I just like legitimately hate that category. Anyway, I think there's a great podcast under that name.
I think so. Yeah, you just put the hashtag in front of it and then it's all okay.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
No, it's fine. But I think that's the audience they're aiming for.
Okay.
Just because, like, literally there's a scene, I'll explain, where Kermit is just like, yeah, I'm just, like, really happy, like, all the time. Like, legally now. And, like, his eyes are a little red. And so it's like, oh, okay. That's definitely for adults.
Okay, whoa. I can't you told us this before. I couldn't believe that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. When I saw it, I was like, are you serious right now?
But that's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I think you guys would like it. The comedy is really great. It's not, like, too cheesy or ridiculous. And it's pretty creative with what they do. So
I watched the trailer, and it looks fun, but, like, I'm not going to watch it. But it looks fun. Like, I can see why people would watch it. But, like, my criteria for a TV show is, like, many and difficult to meet, and yeah, I'm not going to watch a Muppets TV show, but I totally understand why, Kyle, this is like made for you. I feel like this is your dream show. And I like didn't understand why you wanted to talk about this, and then I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, I see why he included it now, because yeah. But yeah, it seems fun. You know, I kind of wonder how much longevity it will have, you know, or if the kind of gimmick will wear off, but we'll see.
Yeah. For the next story, I want to start by quoting a Hyperbole writer, Christina. First of all, how dare you? That's also
Christina,
a direct quote from the show.
Yeah.
Fox has canceled the Mindy Project, and there's nothing good to say about this. The Mindy Project is fantastic. I think, Marima, you're a fan as well.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah, but the good news about this, looking at a silver lining, is that there's actually still hope that Hulu might pick it up. It is kind of one of those really low-rated shows who's been struggling to find its footing over the first few seasons. I remember watching season one and being like, this is so funny, but, like, where are all the... like, her friends, where did they go? What happened? They've sort of had a few issues with supporting characters, but Mindy herself is fantastic, and she's so funny, and the love story, I'm really into it, and I think they did that really well, and just sad to see it go, especially seeing some of the stuff they kept. But that's another discussion.
I'm so furious about this. Yeah. This is... especially because, yeah, we can talk about some of the stuff that did get renewed, but The Mindy Project is, in my opinion, like one of the smartest comedies on TV right now.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that it hasn't found its audience yet, but the audience it's found has been so enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's just, oh, I just love it so much. I totally understand what you're saying about it's had its struggles. I've loved the show since the very start. And I don't know, guys, like, it's really hard for me to find a TV show that I like. And, like, I've committed to the Mindy Project.
Yeah.
And now it's going away. It's not okay.
This is why, like, network television sucks. Because you get into something and then it's canceled.
Yeah. I haven't, like, recovered from this yet. It's so upsetting. But, you know, obviously it would be fantastic news if it got picked up by Hulu, and I really, really hope that that is what happens.
Me too. I mean, it's nice to hear that they're in talks, you know, because, I mean, Hulu has never picked up anything before, but, I mean, a cult TV show getting picked up by an internet you know, services, not news. They've done that with Yahoo, did that with Community. So there's hope, I guess.
And Hulu add their sort of selfie as well, yes. didn't they? So like maybe they've kind of been testing the waters about, you know, these kinds of things. Yeah. And yeah, it would be really exciting. I think Community's been working reasonably well on Yahoo, seems to be. And, you know, maybe the Minji project, I don't know if they would like take in a slightly different direction if it was on Hulu or mm-hmm. if they would keep going with what it was. But like, I just think Mindy Kaling is so smart and her comedy is so sharp that
it is. And so different and so like refreshing.
That's why it's so sad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's so refreshing. It's it really so, isn't she's got this... such a unique voice. Like I hate that word, but it is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and yeah, I'm devastated about this still. I will take me a while to get over this.
Yeah.
But yeah, very sad news for Minji Project fans, and everyone seems just really sad about it. I haven't seen anyone who's like, thank God that show was the worst.
Yeah. So, give me more Last Man on Earth. That show's the best.
Yeah, wow. Just what I've always wanted.
Yeah. Of course, Minji Project isn't the only thing that got canceled. Is it, Kyle?
apparently, American Idiot. Oh, that was...
Oops.
Wow, Freudian slip.
I swear that was not... American Idol is ending this year, or the next year, after season 15. Whatever. It's ending, which is awesome, because I think that show ran about 8 seasons too long. So, I mean, I'm surprised it didn't end when Simon Cowell ended, and then it just kept adding guest judge after guest judge after guest judge. And even like the only thing keeping it together from when it was first airing was Ryan Seacrest, and... I can't stand that guy, so I stopped watching. And
yeah, he's
I'm
doing
just
some
really
kind
happy.
Of Benjamin Button thing. He's aging backwards. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So you're not upset about this?
Not at all.
I don't think a lot of... No, I don't watch it. I think the last
Selena's
time...
like, please.
The last time I actually tuned in for this was back when I still lived in the UK, and I think it was the season when Adam Lambert didn't win. And I was oh, come on.
And then
they
he got
some
famous
random
anyway.
Guy. And like I was like, oh, the world is never going to change. It's always the same. And I got really depressed and I stopped watching. I hate these types of shows.
My favorite part of American Idol is when none of the winners become American Idols.
Yeah. At least you guys have a better track record than in Denmark. Here it's like, not to get into this too much, but here it's like you get on the show, you have like your 5 minutes of fame, and after that you're like a total loser. Like some, like I think like maybe 2 or 3 people have made it. So yeah, it's ending, and nobody's really that sad about it. So at least ABC
if you are
will clear
mad
out the schedule.
About it, let us know.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
No one is a fan of that show. Well, all right. Back to superhero news because that's the only thing I know about. Apparently,
yes.
Very, very exciting news. We might have had we might have had our hearts shattered by Fox, but ABC is making things a little bit better. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was renewed, which, like, we basically saw coming, but Agent Carter has been renewed.
We did not see
so
this coming.
Exciting.
This is so exciting.
Agent Carter, we didn't see coming.
No,
Agents
exactly.
of S.H.I.E.L.D. was going to come back. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but Agent Carter, I mean, I thought for sure it was done. Like, I didn't think they were going to bring it back. I was so excited.
I thought they were going to, but they have been waiting a long time to announce it, and that was making me more nervous than I had previously
exactly.
been.
Exactly, like I had given up hope at this point. I thought it was done.
Yeah, so very, very exciting. They've also announced that the second season of Agent Carter is going to move Peggy to LA, so change of scene, and at the moment the only cast that they like have released is Hayley Atwell, so we don't
it's
actually
good thing
know
she's there.
Yeah, but we don't know if, you know, like Jarvis or Angie or any of those other characters are actually going to be in it, or if maybe they're going to go for a more like self-contained kind of mini series vibe for each season. We're not sure. But yes, very, very exciting. The downside of this, or maybe upside, depending on your perspective, is that the spinoff that we mentioned, I think, a couple weeks ago, which was supposed to star two of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. characters, Bobby and Hunter, has been shelved by ABC. So good news if you are going to miss those characters, because it means they could be returning for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3.
Very exciting. A lot of, like, buzz around those two getting their own, like, I mean, like, I know there's a slight buzz around a spinoff off of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but then when it was revealed about those two, I don't think anyone was inherently like, oh my god, yes! You know?
I think people were excited because they were wondering what that would mean for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, they're definitely fan favorites. People really, really respond to those characters. So I think maybe people are a little apprehensive about losing them from the main show. But everyone was also wondering, like, if they're going to have a spinoff, like, what has happened on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for that to happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was 2 hours, was, like, just aired as we record. So maybe that will reveal why this has or was going to happen. But we haven't seen it yet because... Oh, Kyle, you haven't seen it yet, have you?
No, I haven't. I'm going to watch it after a recap flash tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it after this. But yeah, we're recording. So that's why we're not, you know, we don't know. Maybe the answer has already been revealed, but we're not sure. But anyway, Agent Carter is coming back. It's very, very exciting. At least in the TV world, like, Marvel's women seem to be doing okay, which is very good news.
Yeah.
Speaking of female superheroes.
Yes, exactly. Finally, something good is coming out of DC as well on the television front, because TV, of course, is slowly being taken over by superheroes. And I am, you know, internally screaming because I'm still a total stranger to this world. But this is really fun, exciting news. Supergirl, the TV show following... Well, Supergirl has officially been picked up by CBS. It's been in the works for a while. Earlier this year, we learned that, or maybe last year, we learned that Melissa Benoist.
I think so.
Learned to say that name from Glee. She was in Glee at one point. She is Supergirl, and we kind of figured this was going to happen, but it's really nice to see that it's been confirmed. It will be airing the first season on CBS, I think, starting later this year, premiering in the fall. I'm going to say start preface this by saying I really am super excited by this, but I fell over this line in the synopsis, and I'm just going to read it to you.
Oh, I know exactly which one it was.
So, now 24, Kara feels unempowered, a slave to having repressed her innate abilities. She's still pretty, but with her face hidden behind glasses and her hair pulled back, she doesn't know it herself.
Excuse me?
I feel like personally...
What is she, Mary Sue?
What? But also, like, as we record, my hair is pulled back and I do wear glasses.
And
so
you just
I'm, like,
don't know how pretty
offended.
You are.
Yeah. I just don't know myself, guys, when I wear my glasses, that I need to see the world. It's crazy.
I mean, what is this? Yeah. Like,
they
she's
did
all that?
they released this synopsis a couple months ago now, so... Yeah, everyone has been, like, raging about that. I'm surprised that they're still using it.
Jimmy Olsen's going to give her a makeover, and she's going to come down the stairs like, I'm Supergirl now, because I'm beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, CBS just has a really terrible, their track record with synopsis is, like, remember the track record, the synopsis for Rupert Grint's show? Like, that was bad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Still sad that didn't
That was bad.
Happen.
I don't know. Like, they keep trying to put, like, do this superhero like thing, and I if it was on any other network, I would have more confidence in this being amazing, but CBS I don't trust necessarily with this.
Well, yeah. No, like, it's from the same people who made Arrow and the Flash, so if you're enjoying those shows, then I feel like you need to give Supergirl a chance. If you have issues, like, I love DC's TV universe, actually. I'm a really big fan. I'm really into Arrow and the Flash, despite the problems that they have. So I'm excited for this, and it's a very good move to see them have a female as a main protagonist, and I'm hoping that all of that rubbish in the synopsis is dealt with in the first, like, 25 seconds, and then we never think about that ever again. And, hopefully that all gets sorted out, because that is
just seeing this, like, total teen drama, kind of like she's all fighting crime, she's like, how's my hair?
I know,
gives me like I can't help but think, you know, I mean, obviously people are going to compare this to Buffy, I feel like. And I am like, that had some cheesy moments as well, but that was a different time. And I'm like, oh no, please have moved on.
I think we have to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It was just one line. I just thought it was funny.
No, I definitely think that line is a big problem. Mm-hmm. And I think for most people, that line has been the killer. Like, everyone's really excited. The cast is fantastic.
Yes.
You know, we're also excited to have Supergirl, maybe possibility for crossover with The Flash and Arrow. We don't know yet. And then you read that line and you're like, oh. That's basically it. So we'll see.
Yeah. But fun news nonetheless. I'll be tuning in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'll be tuning into?
What will you be tuning into, Kyle?
Gallivant season 2.
Oh no.
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet.
So everyone.
It's the dumbest show you've ever seen.
Everyone was just shocked when this was announced because, okay, this thing aired when Once Upon a Time was on a hiatus, like way back in December and January. And then it ended, and it ended with the cliffhanger. So people were very confused. They thought this was going to be like a one-off thing, but then the cliffhanger was like, wait, is there more? And then no one said there was going to be more. Not the actors, not ABC, no one. Like, not a single person from the show had talked about it since it aired. They'd be like, oh, Gallivant was great. I had so much fun. Yay. Mm-hmm. And then, like, dead radio silence until, you know, May 7th when they were just like, hey, by the way, there's a season 2 coming. Yeah, confirmed. Like, what? The reason everyone's shocked is that it only got 4.3 million viewers on the finale, in the season finale. And I don't know, guys, like, Marima, you're clearly like, you didn't like it at all. You thought it was really dumb, but a lot of people on social media were like really happy, like they loved it, but they didn't expect it to get renewed. Like, that's the majority of the comment section. Like, the first comment on the news story is, I don't know why this happened, but I am so thankful. And I think that explains.
I think I'm kind of in the minority. Like, everyone seems to really love this show. I've only seen the pilot, I have to admit, but I just watched it and was like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. This is so
well, it's
terrible.
Supposed to be like campy and ridiculous and stupid.
I know, but again, like, I can only dedicate so much time to that, and like, I can watch a campy, like, ridiculous movie, but I can't commit to a TV series that's based on that premise. But I totally get why people are excited, and yeah, this was really the big shock, I think, of what we've had of the, like, announcements so far. This seemed to be the one, because literally no one thought that this show was coming back. So it's really, it's so nice for Gallivant fans, like, to have that fun surprise, and yeah, it's the shining light in the otherwise, like, depressing haze of cancellations. Yeah. So that's nice.
It's really great because Disney fans, and there are a crap ton of them, are just really happy because Alan Menken is the one who's been making, composing all these original songs. And it's really great to see a show come up with all these great original songs that actually sound like Disney songs. They sound like they're supposed to be in a Disney movie, which is really nice. So for those of you guys who like Disney and like all those films and haven't given Gallivant a chance, I think you would like the soundtrack at least.
All right, so before we move on to the final couple of news stories that really don't have anything to do with television, we just want to point you to hypeable.com, where you can find, you know, the full list of TV renewals and cancellations and pickups, a really handy document for you so you can keep up with what's happening. I think some of the biggest stories that we didn't talk about was NBC has canceled Constantine, which everyone is super upset about, because it was a good show and it feels weird.
But they're shopping around to be picked up somewhere else.
People
so.
Are hoping for the CW actually to pick it up. The CW is renewing pretty much everything. I think the only cancellation this year is actually The Messengers and then Heart of Dixie, which was already ending. And they're picking up a new member of the superhero show family, Legends of Tomorrow, which is a spin-off of The Flash, which is a spin-off of Arrow, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, you got it.
It's even taking over the CW, guys.
But The 100 is picked up, so yeah. That's all Selena cares about.
Yeah, The 100, as long as they keep that, I'm cool with it. They've picked up iZombie. I had no idea Beauty and the Beast was still on. Supernatural is back. Vampire Diaries.
That's still on?
Yeah, I know, right? I had no idea. CBS is picking up most of their stuff. ABC has canceled Forever and Cristela. People are pretty sad about Revenge is ending. We're going to talk a little bit about that later. And
Fox also canceled The Following, which I know a lot of people are really bummed about.
And Backstrom and Grace Point as well.
I mean, there's obviously been like a lot of renewals, but we focus on the sad things because, you know, it's like, Grey's Anatomy's coming back for like its 45th season. Who cares? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's been a few shocks and surprises. We've kind of covered those. If there's any other shows that you guys think we should talk about next week, or that you have some thoughts on that you think we aren't watching, then please let us know. Either tweet us at HyperbleHype or write to us on hyperbole.com. And we'll definitely see that and talk about it next week. And we're finishing up the news by moving away from television to a couple of Nintendo stories, because this is so cool. This is just, this one, I can't even. I think the only one more excited is Andrew, who is like... like dying for this to become a reality. So Universal and Nintendo have announced a partnership to bring video games to life at theme parks, which means, I mean, there's no specific rides or sections or anything announced, but I mean, this could potentially mean a real life Zelda. Mario Kart, a Zelda world.
Zelda.
I know. A Zelda is like the thing I'm most excited about as well. Like, I just want a sword and a green like hat, and I want to run around and save like Hyrule for.
I'm a bus of big Donkey Kong fans. I'm all about Donkey Kong.
For me, Zelda would definitely, if they did something fun, like action-y with that, I would be all about it. Otherwise, there's also Pokemon that some people are thinking. You know, it could be fun to do some kind of real-life Pokemon thing.
Could you imagine
if
they did a Mario Kart and, like, you did a race and, like, they zoomed in on your face so you can, like, give people the stink eye and, like, they fight back the video and it's, like, slow-mo?
I mean, the thing is, most of these are like, because it's video games, I think we're all expecting them to be really interactive, but obviously the more interactive they get, the more dangerous it is. So we might be looking at something more passive, you know, passive rides and passive like...
No, I refuse to attend until they build the Rainbow Road. I'm not going until there's the Rainbow Road.
Yeah. But I mean, this is super fun
combine
news.
Combine that with the Hunger Games park and then put Rainbow Road.
Oh, perfect on the way to the Capitol. Interactive, but also, you know, they're obviously games, so they kind of lend themselves to rides because most of them have like an aspect you could fairly easily pull out and construct a ride around it, and so much nostalgia associated with Nintendo for us, I think,
for
with
sure.
our like millennial generation.
I was gonna say
you know I thing. Yeah, my Nintendo memories are very much about, like, the Nintendo 64. So,
I had one of those, too.
Yeah, I didn't even have one. I had to go to my friend's house down the street, and we would, like, play it for hours and hours. So, you know, it's kind
That's
of
amazing.
Nice. And I'm in a way, I'm sort of surprised they haven't done it before now, because as soon as they announce it, you're like, duh, of course they should have that. So, yeah,
and
it's
I think,
exciting
like,
stuff.
Real life, like, bringing sort of this real life aspect to video game. I mean, this is like Ready Player One, like wet dream kind of. You know, it's bridging that gap. It's so fun. I mean, and I think we're probably setting our sights too high when we're hoping for like to actually be able to run around in these worlds because it is ultimately a commercial thing. But I'm excited. I think there's nothing really bad to say about this, and it'll introduce these games to a new generation as well. So that's fun. Yay! And there's more good Nintendo news.
Heck yeah, there is. Speaking of Nintendo, they're going to be releasing their first smartphone game by the end of 2015. Like, earlier in the year, they announced that they're going to be developing games exclusively for mobile devices, And that's going to be awesome. Like, they're not going to be bringing, like, Mario Kart and, like, Zelda or, like, Pokemon over, like, to iOS or Android. But instead, they're going to be, I think they're coming up with completely new games, like, completely new characters. But that's,
like, that's a little bit unfortunate, I guess. But
I think it makes sense, you know, like, I don't know. Because they want people to play their games like Nintendo's on a, you know, Game Boy or on a, what did I say, just say Game Boy? On a DS.
Yeah.
Like on a Wii, you know?
I guess. I feel like, No, I want Pokemon Red for the smartphone.
Yeah. So, but I'm excited. It's going to be, we only have like 7 more months of this year, or 6 more months, almost. So, it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't care about this if it's not the games that I already know. I'm too old to learn about new things. Like, I just want, like, Mario Kart, I want Pokemon Red and Pokemon Blue, and, like, the very first Zelda where you, like, couldn't do anything, and that's it. I can't progress beyond that.
I just want to play Pokemon on my iPhone. That's all I want.
Seriously, like, why can't I do that? Because, like, where do you even... Do Game Boys even exist anymore? Like,
I have one of those, yeah.
Isn't like a fancy one though with like a touchscreen and everything?
No, I have a Game Boy like Pocket Nintendo, and it still works.
Oh.
Like, yeah, like the new one is the touchscreen fancy 3D stuff. But yeah, you can still buy Game Boys on eBay. Easy.
Yeah.
I even have an Advance, but that sucks.
I love the Game Boy Advance.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway, nice, I mean, you know, if you like Nintendo games, I'm sure this will be great. But, like, I just want the nostalgia factor.
Yes, for sure. All right, so that wraps up our news section this week. A lot of stuff to get through, and obviously we're excited to be changing it up a little bit. Please do contact us if you have any thoughts about this week's news, or if there's anything you were like, why didn't you talk about that? And rage! then please let us know. Moving on now to a TV show of the week. We're staying in the TV show spirits. We've each picked one show from the past week that we are going to be talking about a little bit. And I'm not going to talk about Game of Thrones this week, just to mix it up. I watched the Revenge series finale. And I want to preface this by saying I haven't watched the show in 3 years, so most of the characters... I had no idea who they were and why they were important. Ultimately, I don't know if either of you guys are fans.
Nope.
No. Oh, wait. Revenge? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
No.
Yes, no. I watched it up until the beginning of this season because I felt it got ridiculous and...
Yeah. Very like, soapy.
Just stupid. And I just stopped watching, like, the third or fourth episode in. And then I watched again to see Daniel die. And then I watched again to see Victoria die.
Okay, well, spoilers, but okay.
Oh, crap. Sorry.
But I was going to say, because I watched the first couple of seasons, I loved them. I thought they were so, like, salacious and intriguing and fun. And then I started noticing something that I just could not get over, which bothered me. And one was the music. Which is like the synthy, soapy, way too dramatic for the scenes. And it irks me. And then it's the cutting, which is basically they cut between scenes that are ongoing. So like you're in a scene with Victoria and like what's her face, new character, and they're like having a discussion, and then like someone says a line and it's like, oh, so that's a problem. Cut. And then, you know, you pick up on another scene and Emily's like, oh, no, we're really going to have to revenge this, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, you cut back and then Victoria says, yes, it's a big problem. And then I just, like, I can't do it. Like, it's just, it's so...
That sounds terrible.
It feels so cheap to me. And I swear it didn't used to be like this. So that really bothered me about the show. But it's not actually because the acting is bad or because the show itself is bad. It's just these extra elements that annoy me. But... All that said, the finale, I liked it for what it was. I was expecting a very different ending, and I think most people were, and I haven't read anything about if people are happy or disappointed, but I think it ended the best way it possibly could while leaving us sort of with a good feeling. You know what I mean? was interesting. Did you watch it, Kyle?
I did not. Only watch. I specifically searched for that for scenes where Victoria was dead.
Spoilers! Oh my god, I was trying so hard not to spoil it, but okay.
I'm sorry. I can't. I apologize.
But yeah, okay. So that show's over, and if you guys are fans, then please let us know in the comments. It ended well.
Oh, do you want me to talk about mine now?
Could you, please? Yes?
Sure. Mine is in anticipation, actually. My show of the week is Elementary. I don't know if I've talked about this, but Elementary is actually my favorite TV show that's on right now, which is like a weird choice, I feel. But the season finale is this week. It's on Thursday night. So, yeah, very excited. That's season 3 finale. I will not spoil because I'm a... you know, considerate person. But Elementary is, you know, basically the modern version of Sherlock Holmes' story if it was in New York and if John Watson was Joan Watson, played by the amazing Lucy Liu. And I know it sounds ridiculous, and I know everyone says, but Sherlock is so good. And yes, I was that person like 2 years ago. But then I watched Elementary and was like, no, wait, this is the best show ever. And I love it. I love Johnny Lee Miller. He's so fantastic. It's just such an interesting take on the Sherlock Holmes story. And if you are someone who has read all of Conan Doyle's stories, I think I certainly do find this characterization on Elementary versus Benedict Cumberbatch's on Sherlock to be truer to, I guess, the spirit of those stories. So, yeah, I'd be interested if other people felt differently, but I just really love it, which is weird for me because usually I prefer, like, British versions of things just very generally. But, yeah, it's so good. The season finale is this week, which is both exciting and also, like, very sad, of course, because then we're waiting. But it's been renewed, so it's all good. It's coming back. And, yeah, hopefully this season finale isn't, you know, terrible, because then it will be my TV show of the week next week for all the wrong reasons. But for now, I'm very excited to see what goes down.
Awesome. And what's your show, Kyle?
The Vampire Diaries, obviously. well, because Nina Dobrev is leaving the series, and next week she's going to be making her exit formally, and it's the season finale, and I assume it's going to be this show's last season next season, and it's just going to be really interesting to see how she leaves the show, because people were very curious. I'm not going to spoil it because I already spoiled too much for Revenge, and I feel bad.
Nobody cares.
But there's some circumstances where she's like, you don't know if she's going to live or if she's going to die, because you don't know if they're going to be able to realistically take her away from Damon Salvatore, which is her true love. And so it just, I don't know, it's going to be very, very interesting to see what they do. And they can do a bunch of different things. And it's actually really exciting. I'm glad they're doing it. And it's really twisting the show up. I mean, like, you haven't watched it in, like, forever, and you're probably, like, going to be, like, if you watch the finale this season, you're going to be so confused.
Yeah, probably. But then again, I mean, it's not that hard to. I mean, I watched a couple of episodes earlier this season, and I was like, okay, so there's someone called Joe. Okay, there's someone, you know, whatever. But I'll be interested to see it. I think you were talking before the show that we should maybe do like a small vampire hype reunion to send off Elena and all of her clones.
It'd be really cool. Yeah.
Clones. Oh, speaking of clones, Orphan clones. Black. We forgot. It's been renewed. Orphan That's Black. All.
Yeah. I mean, we have to. Yeah. Orphan Black is the best show on television by far. Sorry, Marima, not Elementary.
I didn't say Elementary was the best. I said it's my favorite. I don't watch Elf and Black. Everyone calm down.
No, damn it, rage!
It's renewed for season 4, which is really interesting, actually, because the show writers had said that there's a 5-season arc going on, and that their intent is 5 seasons. Now, whether or not BBC America is going to let them stay to 5 seasons if the show does well enough, that's a completely
Oh, we're talking
story.
About Orphan Black now? I got confused.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. All right.
But wow. Back to the Vampire Diaries, though. If we do a special about that, then we'll let you know on Twitter and Hyperbole and stuff like that. Because it would be fun. It would be fun to reflect on Elena's Elena's journey and her exit. And I'm just going to say it right now. If she jumps into a portal to save the world, then I'm calling BS. Because seriously, I have talked about the Buffy parallels in the show before, so
I get that joke.
Yay!
I don't watch the show.
So yeah, exciting times. Exciting times in TV land. We're nearing all the finales and everything, and then basically after this week, this it's going to be very slim pickings in the TV section, so we might have to think of something else to do. We'll deal with that when it comes. Moving on now to Hot on Hypeable, which is Marima's segment. I'm looking for a better word.
Thanks. That is an accurate description. Thank you very much. Well, in honor of our sort of TV-heavy episode, we have a TV-themed Hot on Hypeable this week. We've talked a lot about the renewals and cancellations. We had a really great long-read article from one of our writers, Karen, this week about why network television shouldn't be so quick to cancel shows. And I think that may have come a little bit because she was a very big fan of Constantine, very big fan of The Following. So maybe slightly rage-fueled. But no, it's a really great piece about,
really great piece.
You know, the nature of TV now compared to online streaming, and that networks really need to be adjusting to the new methods of people consuming this media, and raises a lot of good points. So yeah, people definitely check that out. Then over the weekend, this past weekend, it was Mother's Day in the States and in Australia. I don't know about in Denmark or like the rest of the world. Yeah, so it was Mother's Day over the weekend in many countries, maybe yours, maybe not. But regardless, you can still read our article if it was or it wasn't Mother's Day, about all the different fandom mothers. And we've got characters from Once Upon a Time and Outlander and Teen Wolf and Girls and Jane the Virgin and everything. So just celebrating some of our favorite fandom moms over there for a little bit of fun. On the more serious side, we have a great article from Ariana this week about Game of Thrones and about the way that they are portraying Westeros's people of color. And obviously, you know, there are a few spoilers in there if you're not watching Game of Thrones, but if you aren't watching the show, it's still a really interesting piece to read. If you are watching it, then obviously, like, you'll have a little more insight. But it's just, you know, an interesting assessment of, I guess, the responsibility of fictional worlds and, like, the way that they portray different characters when there are, like, fairly obvious parallels to, you know, the real world. Meanwhile, someone told me today that's off topic, but like Game of Thrones related. Someone told me that Snoop Dogg did an interview this week where he was like, I like watching Game of Thrones because it teaches me about the history of the world and like how we got here. And the interviewer was like trying to point out to him that it was fictional and like he just was not dissuaded. Like he was like, no, I like to learn about, you know, how history has progressed and stuff. Is that someone tell me that?
I have
that,
no idea. That's
mean
hilarious.
Everyone take that with a grain of salt. I'm going to investigate that after. But yeah, that was, I can't believe that could be true, but then again, yes, I can. So anyway, that's a little trivia for you if you're paying attention to Hot and Hypeable. More TV news. We have Freaks and Geeks is the show that they are currently watching on our Rewatchable podcast, which is another great podcast from Hypeable where they go back and choose a cult show and rewatch it. They've done Firefly and Pushing Daisies. I think, Kyle, you're on that. And Veronica Mars, I was on that one. And they've done Avatar, and now they're on Freaks and Geeks.
Rewatchable, such a good idea, right?
Yeah. Who thought of that?
I don't remember. It's
a
long time.
Some genius. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Selena thought of it.
if you have to mention
it. Selena's a great idea. Anyway, while they are rewatching Freaks and Geeks, they are publishing a whole lot of really good articles to go along with that. And this week we had suggestions for if you like Freaks and Geeks, some other TV shows and some movies as well to check out, which has, you know, things that are related in theme and things that are related with the same cast. It's a really fun article. So We like a bit of the nostalgia. And then finally, one from Selena herself. And just bear with me. It doesn't seem like TV at the start, but you'll get there. Selena wrote this great article about what Joss Whedon should do next now that he's all finished up with Marvel and with the Avengers. And the reason I'm including it is because your number one is for him to do another original TV series.
Yay! That's what everyone
I totally
wants.
Agree with. Yeah, yeah, everyone wants that. That would be amazing. And there are some other good options on here, like just a Firefly miniseries, yeah. Maybe something for Star Wars. I think there was a bonus option of a Harry Potter-related project.
People are so mad about that. I love that. Yeah. I mean, I see where they're coming from, but I'm just like being 100% selfish and being like, J.K. Rowling, Joss Whedon, my childhood.
Yeah, just hang out. Anyway, yeah, so there's some great ideas on there. Definitely worth reading. Selena is a huge Joss Whedon fan, so it's all like very positive, you know, no need, yeah, none of this like criticism.
And it's a nice balance to all the crap it's been getting lately. So I feel like we needed some positivity.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, he obviously, that must have just been like really upsetting for him to like earn all that money and have like five people on the internet be like, I don't like you. I'm just saying, I think Joss Whedon has bigger things to worry about. But if he was feeling sad, he can go and read our article. And while we're waiting for
him to do that,
you can check it out as well. And yeah, that's it for Hot on Hyperball. But of course, we have a huge amount more original content on the site, which you can check out. We have things going up every day. So we try and pick a few, but there are so many more. You just have to go and have a look on the front page.
Awesome. So our final segment for today is listener feedback. We have some Twitter comments and a Hyperball comment. We're going to get to all of those. Kyle, do you want to start us off with the first one?
Yes, sure. The first person is Leah Rowe on Twitter, and she said, listening to Hero Hype Podcast / Hypable Hype's Age of Ultron special episode now that I've seen the movie, and wow, I've missed some references. Enjoying finally being able to listen to the special episode, though. Looking forward to more of these.
Thank you for the comment. We're happy that you guys are listening and that you like it. You watched Age of Ultron, right, Kyle?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh, you haven't yet?
What?
Oh.
How?
I know.
How?
I don't know. Like, I'm really annoyed, too. But I'm off tomorrow, so.
Okay, you should go watch it. We'll have to get your thoughts. We have to get everyone's thoughts on this movie on the show. And
yeah, I'm waiting to hear, like, I want to listen to our special episode, but I'm waiting to watch the movie before I do.
Definitely watch the movie first.
Danielle from Hypable, one of our writers, says, finally got to listening to Hypable Hype 46. And Andrew, I totally doodle symbols when I'm bored. Black Widow everywhere. Black Widow! Woo.
You forgot to hashtag that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Millennial. It's a millennial thing, guys.
Jeez. And Amalia told us on Twitter, hi, Amalia. Amalia is a fan of our Hero Hype podcast, which you can check out, that I'm not at all affiliated with, except that I host it. Amalia said to Selena, finally one person who didn't love Winter Soldier. Thanks, Selena. I thought I was alone in the world. And Amalia, I'm rethinking. I don't know if you should be listening to Hero Hype anymore. No, just kidding. But yeah, Selena, you said last week.
Glad.
I think it was last week you weren't such a big fan.
Yeah, so. On our special.
Yeah.
So yeah, good different opinions. Although I am going to watch it again, so I might like it more the second time now that I actually know what's going on and what the people's names are and stuff. Been trying to read up on it a little bit. Captain America is a much more interesting person than I thought he was. I'm just going to put that out there. Like, since, because I was schooled by Natalie on Twitter about what he was.
Oh, yeah. She has a lot of thoughts.
She does. But because, you know, I watched Avengers. I thought Captain America was the person he was in the Avengers before I watched his own movies. And apparently he's this awesome guy who isn't at all like sort of this stuck up. Old guy, and I had no idea. So I'm discovering that slowly now. I think it's gonna make me like the movie more.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, a lot of the definitely on Hero Hype, we're very pro Captain America, but a lot of the people who are less keen on Joss Whedon in the Marvel world are people who are Captain America fans, because their characterization is very different between the Avengers movies and his solo movies. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's an interesting world to explore. Our final comment is on Hypable.com. Kyle, do you want to get that?
Yes, absolutely. So House of Black says, "Hi, I've been catching up on some older episodes and had to laugh during the April 12th show when you twice advised Doctor Who fans to listen to Who Hype. It's obvious none of you realized that Who Hype mysteriously stopped recording back in September. I'm sorry it's gone, but at least I have the marvelous Hype team to console me. Love you all."
You know, and, I thought it was just on hiatus. I had no idea.
Who Hype has stopped recording mostly because we like had these discussions after the episode would air, and we'd be like, "Oh my god, what the heck is happening? Like, what is going on? What is Stephen Moffat doing? Why is he doing this?" And like, it just like, if we had recorded, it would have been a Moffat hate fest, essentially.
Yeah. So Who Hype will not be coming back. We can say now. But we'll talk about it on Hype if there are big things.
Yeah, we'll probably do specials and stuff about it because now there's not the, you know, we don't have a podcast devoted to it on Hypeable anymore, so we don't have to worry about stepping on toes.
So we can get
bring some of those in and
exactly.
Laura, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'll be fun. Yeah, when it's a big episode or something. Yeah. So don't worry.
Just because Who Hype is gone doesn't mean you guys won't hear us talk about our Doctor Who opinions when there's news.
For sure. And if it's more like isolated episodes, we won't be that like negative as well, like, which might be nice because we won't be like going over the same things over and over again that we maybe aren't as big fans of as we should be, we could be. But thank you for your comment, House of Black, and we're glad that you're enjoying listening to Hype. And if you have any Doctor Who fans, be sure to... If you have any Doctor Who thoughts, be sure to write us in and we can sort of use that to lead into a little discussion about the show. And wrapping up the show now, thank you all for your comments. Please continue to engage with us on Twitter at HypeableHype and on Hypeable.com, which is HYPABLE.com. And we love hearing from you and we love sort of using your comments to just sort of lead into a few more discussions that we otherwise wouldn't have got to. As I said at the start of the show, we would also really appreciate it if you went onto iTunes and found Hype Podcast and rated us and maybe left a little review and just helped spread the word, maybe send out a tweet or something like that if you think you have a network that would be interested in listening to a general news, entertainment news podcast. And next week, there's the Pitch Perfect 2 movie premieres.
Well, this week.
In 2 days. So next week, we'll be able to talk about it. And Mad Max Fury Road, which I'm sure everyone here is just dying to see. I have no idea what this is.
People are actually excited about this. And I was not at all. Like, I was like, no one is actually going to see this, right? And everyone, like, yelled at me because apparently people are really into it. This is the Mad Max kind of reboot continuation thing. So yeah, that's also happening this week. We'll see if anyone goes to see it.
Be exciting to find out. I'm definitely not. I have no idea what this is.
Probably
not coming out here anyway. So Pitch Perfect 2 is not listed in my cinemas. I'm just going to say I'm probably not going to see it because it's not out yet.
What the heck?
Are you serious? Check.
Yeah, I checked the other day and it wasn't there. Like, Very far from the already, maddening yeah? crowd, I can watch that. And that's about it.
So. Wow.
Remember you saw it?
Oh, yeah. I saw it last week or something. I went to a screening a couple weeks ago.
Did you like it?
I did really like it. And I've seen some criticism of it. But I think if you go into it, remembering that the first one was like very fun and very silly and a bit weird. And it wasn't like, you know... a deep and meaningful expose of like the modern age.
Age of
then...
Ultron good, you know, let's... <I'm
kidding. laughs> I liked it more than Age of Ultron. It was really fun. And I think, you know, it's got the same writer as the first one. So definitely like all the jokes and things are very similar. And Elizabeth Banks directed it and I feel like she did a really great job. So yeah, I definitely recommend. Awesome. And some really fun song choices in it as well that I have enjoyed. Yeah, I think actually we didn't talk about that, but I think the soundtrack was just released or the track listing. It's up on Spotify now if people want to like go and listen to it. But I would say don't listen before you go and see the film. Like go and see the film because it's fun to be surprised by the music. Yeah. And then you can like go and listen to them forever on repeat afterwards, which is what we all do.
Yay! You guys, the Eurovision is later this month, by the way. We're totally going to talk about that.
Selena, totally you and I are doing special. A hype special. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Kyle, you watch it too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eurovision is my favorite time of year, and Australia is competing this year.
I know!
Australia is competing.
It's the best. Australia is my favorite country in Europe, so yeah. I'm happy about
that. Mine too. Mine too.
But yeah, anyway, that's a long way off. I just remembered that right now. Next week, there'll be more finales of different TV shows. Do you have a list
have,
handy?
We have Arrow, Grey's Anatomy, Vampire Diaries, we talked about, Scandal, Elementary. These are just shows that we're covering in Hypewell. There are like a million more. We've got Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Mad Men. Is the series finale is on Monday or Sunday, I think. So, you know, that's exciting. And then The Flash, of course, next week. So, yeah, basically every show that's on TV right now has either had the finale or is about to.
Yeah, so it'd just be Game of Thrones and the TV show of the week from now on.
Yeah.
great. So we hope that you enjoyed this episode and that you'll check back next week for even more hype. And we also obviously hope that you're all Eurovision fans, so you'll listen to that special.
Who isn't?
I know, right?
That's my TV show of the week.
Check out, for sure. There you go. Be sure to check out HiBubble.com for all your latest entertainment news and opinion pieces, and follow us on Twitter at HiBubbleHype. My name is Selena.
I'm Marima.
And I'm Kyle.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.